Teen sex is okay. Parents are stupid. Violence doesn't hurt. Profanity, it's cool. Morality doesn't matter. Isn't this what we're fed every day? Seniors see the younger generation as the least moral. Is that true, or just a prejudiced view since their youth is gone? What do we find if we compare today's morals to 100 years ago? More crime, more divorce, more sexual diseases, more porn. Let's face it, we have a crisis of character. No doubt families are under attack. Someone once said, as the family goes, so goes a nation. So where will this take us in the future? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss character in crisis.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Television confronts us with people screaming at each other, women having children by five or six different men, alternative lifestyles, DNA testing, and trash TV, all in the name of entertainment. No longer is a person embarrassed because they're pregnant without a husband, and it's no longer a shame for a man to run away from being a father of that child. What has happened to character? To discuss this today, my guest is a United Church of God pastor, Don Henson.
Steve.
Welcome, Don. You know, can it be said that this crisis of character, the difficulties that we face in people's lives today, is just a modern thing? Or has there been problems and difficulties with character in the past as well?
Well, Steve, I guess if we look at it subjectively, there really has never been a time when there hasn't been a crisis in character. I mean, you and I would agree, and I think that most people would look at the society around us and recognize things are not all as they should be. There is a problem in terms of behavior, morals, or standards, and there's confusion. And so there is definitely a crisis in the matter of character. But you ask if there has ever been a time before when there was a crisis in character. Well, of course there has. Again, I can't think of a time when people have not faced that particular crisis, the crisis of character. I mean, we can page way back, for example, to the time of Noah. Noah lived in an age where God decided that mankind was so evil and so destructive and so violent that he decided to destroy all of mankind except for that one family and then reconstruct society from that point. Unfortunately, it didn't take very long before that same cycle of bad behavior and of bad character in action to take its toll once again.
So really, it's fair to say there's ebbs and flows to this whole issue in some ways, and yet there does seem to be a downward spiral to the whole issue as you look at it. Although some people would say, well, no, wait a second. Mankind is basically good, and if you give us enough time, you know, we'll work these things out. You know, good decisions, good character will come to the top, and it's all going to be fine. But is that a right way to look at things?
Well, I only wish that were true. Because, you know, if you take that point of view, you look at man's history, and you think, well, okay, well, if character is basically good and nature is basically good, then eventually we'll get it right. Well, okay, we've been at this now for a few thousand years, and we don't seem to have it right. In fact, I think you would, if you're careful and look at it objectively again, that you would find that every generation seems to have its character crisis, and if anything, our life is becoming even more violent, more dangerous, and more evil than it has been in the past. And we certainly can look around us, we can see all these different variations and standards and approaches and definitions of what's right and what's wrong, and that creates an incredible amount of confusion, and it makes it possible for virtually any behavior to be justified and acceptable.
Now, that's kind of interesting because you talked about what standard. Now, if we went back, what if you went back to the first man, first woman, and took a look right there at the very beginning? I mean, you'd think that was the ultimate, you know, area to begin as far as right character, right decisions, right choices. But is that really the case?
Well, they certainly had the opportunity. Adam and Eve didn't have anybody else to influence them and to try to take them in a wrong direction. They made their own choices, and that's where the problem lies. Adam and Eve were given instruction to not eat of a tree called the knowledge of good and evil. They chose to reject God's instruction and to eat of that tree regardless, that means that they took it upon themselves to decide what was good and what was evil, what was right and what was wrong. And so that's where things got off on the wrong track, is that from that very time forward, mankind has taken that approach, and mankind has decided that we will be our own judges of what's right and what's wrong, and we will set the standards, we will establish the values. And as a result, each subsequent generation is that much further away from the standard of good character, which is God himself.
And so they choose their own standard to live by. Now, some people would blame human nature. And if you look at what human nature is, how does that relate to character? How does that fit together with the condition of people's minds and their hearts?
Well, there's some passages in Scripture that, again, help us to I think, understand a little bit about the real nature of man, what we are of and by ourselves, by nature. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 is probably one of the most explicit passages where it tells us that the human heart is deceitful and is wicked above all things. And that's kind of a King James language. What it essentially means is that we have a nature that is terminally sick. There is no cure for the nature or the natural heart that we have.
We're not going to find our solutions to character within ourselves, in other words.
We're not, and that's part of the lesson that mankind has been learning over and over again, because we keep making that effort. We keep trying to come up with the values and the standards on our own, having already rejected the one source of those standards.
That's an interesting point, because if we look to the true source, that's what's going to get us onto the right track of right character, rather than this crisis that we find ourselves in. And as we look back through time, how has that changed? How has things change that we find this deteriorating cycle going on?
Well, the nature itself has not changed. I think we can establish that or see that as a fundamental, that the basic nature of mankind has not changed. There are some things that have. There are a couple of things that have changed. First of all, as I already said, with each subsequent generation from Adam and Eve's time forward, we are that much further away from the foundation of good character and of values, which is God himself. And secondly, as we look at our specific age, you mentioned what was it like 100 years ago. Well, we have now at our disposal incredible means of technology for communication, which means that we can, in effect, broadcast and advertise and encourage people to take part in all kinds of activities that do not reflect good, positive, wholesome character. You mentioned a number of issues that are part of our entertainment, part of television, part of our society that everyone accepts. Well, maybe everyone's too general the phrase, word, but people generally do accept these false values and standards. And we have now much more access, much more opportunity right at our fingertips to be entertained by and to be convinced of any number of different kinds of lifestyles and means of behavior.
And there seems to be more and more of those different ways to choose from and different variations, different standards, different values that are out there. And oftentimes we hear, what's the difference? Everyone's just as good as another.
That's one of the false values that I think people have fallen for, is that you can't judge someone else for their decisions.
Yeah, in fact, that's an interesting thing, because as we look at this difficulty we live in today, what are the keys to live right? What's good character? How do you get it? How do you keep it? How do you pass it on to your children? You know, is your life really working? We have a booklet to help you out. It's called Making Life Work. Do you see this difficulty with character in your life, with your kids, in your family, your community? You need to turn to your Bible, and we've got a booklet to help you to understand what God wants for you, to live by the right standard. It's free. BeyondToday.tv is where you can get it right now. Go there, order the booklet, or read it immediately online. It'll help you with your life. Stay tuned.
We all need powerful tools to build habits of success and make life work. Get your tools to overcome obstacles and even overcome your own bad behaviors. Life's most powerful tools for personal success are in your free copy of Making Life Work. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of Making Life Work.
Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine.
Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
We all need a little help once in a while. We have a booklet, Free Making Life Work. In fact, with this free booklet offer, you'll also receive a subscription to our Good News magazine. You just heard about it. Order the magazine, beyondtoday.tv. It'll certainly help your life. Now, we've been discussing this crisis of character in our world today and the fact that so many don't even know how to behave anymore. Now, it's nothing new. Problems with good character have existed since the time of Adam and Eve. Now, what about today? Some would argue that there's no problem with character and behavior in society. And yet, as we look at the world today, Don, what is character? People have a difficulty in even just defining what we're talking about.
Maybe that's part of the problem, is that people don't really have a great deal of concern in some cases about what character even is. Character can be defined in many different ways. Let's choose a couple of really simple ones for our discussion now. One way to understand character is that it's simply your pattern of behavior. It's the kind of person you are, the way you respond, the way you deal with issues and matters, the choices that you make.
Things you do.
So everybody has character. It's just a matter of whether that's what we would call wholesome and good and sound character or whether it's weak character.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has character. Now, another way to define character, and I think maybe a more relevant definition, would be to know what is right and to choose what is right and to do what is right.
That puts a more difficult twist on the whole thing, to know, to write, and to do.
It makes it a real challenge, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really defines a person's pattern of behavior, that they really are making an effort to be a certain quality kind of person. Another aspect of character, of course, is how do we behave? Do we choose and do what's right when no one's looking?
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times people seem to be fine, upstanding citizens, and yet if no one's looking, then they will do things that are not so fine and upstanding. For example, in the wake of a serious incident, say a blackout in a major city or a natural disaster, a hurricane, otherwise law-abiding citizens often become looters because no one's there to stop them. There's nobody with a gun and a badge to make them be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so they choose what they want to do. Their real nature begins to come out. And so character is a very basic and a fundamental aspect of life. We make those choices ourselves. What we choose affects other people, and it creates a whole environment of what the world, what the society is going to be like.
Now, do you think part of the problem is the fact that people just don't know what's right in some cases, or maybe in most cases?
Well, we talked earlier about how that Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, rejected God's instruction. They turned away from just the absolute perfect source of knowledge of what is good and what is right. Mankind has chosen to define that for himself. And so if we have a character in crisis, then I think that's really at the heart of it, that people either don't know what's right or people don't care what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what's right and or what's wrong, then how are you going to base that, base your decisions and choose the right kind of life?
Well, it's no wonder then that would lead to all kinds of problems when you've got different standards that people are living by, when there isn't a set standard. And I suppose in some ways, doesn't that lend itself to all these different factors that really lead to the problem, to the issue of character and the problem of right character? I mean, are there special issues today that we can look at to show that?
Well, you know, for one thing, people don't want there to be a standard. They want to be able to make that choice. And so that leads down this path of rejecting any other higher or greater source of what's right. And we see that reflected very clearly in the kind of entertainment that we choose. The entertainment reflects the kind of decisions and the kind of society that we've, as a group, have decided to have. If you look at entertainment and consider not what the entertainment itself is, but just what is it that entertains us,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of frightening.
I'm sure you could tell a lot about a nation by its entertainment. What is the entertainment that they're using? How does it affect them? And I'm sure it's an indication, wouldn't you say?
It reflects the moral or the standard of a nation. And, of course, so much of our entertainment, just we've mentioned television already a couple of times, if you flip through the channels, so much of what people are entertained by is either sex or violence or a combination of both. And so it shows the standards that we set for ourselves and the quality of life that we have established.
And I suppose in many ways that lack of character that's shown in the entertainment then becomes the standard, wouldn't you say? I mean, if we're not teaching our kids, so schools aren't teaching our kids, what is?
That's right. Again, even our children are taught that you can't judge other people by their decisions, by their lifestyles. And so everything is okay. And you know what? If everything is okay, then nothing is wrong. And that just opens up, again, all kinds of difficulty and confusion as far as establishing what it is, how it is that we ought to be living.
Now, some would look at that and say, well, wait a second, entertainment, you know, the difficulties on TVs and movies, that's not really that big a deal. So what? There's violence, but we understand that's mm-hmm. movie violence. That's mm-hmm. entertainment. That's not really reality.
Yeah.
But does that violent approach in entertainment have anything to do in contributing to this crisis in character?
There have been any number of studies, Steve, that have shown that viewing aggression on television leads to aggressive acts itself, and it especially impacts our children. Now, there are some interesting statistics that have come out of some of these studies. For example, the average child watches 25 hours of television each week. I think that's probably a fairly conservative estimate. That's only about a little more than 3 hours a day. And so it's not overstating it at all. And so the average child then watching that amount of television, on average, by the time he is 12 years old in the sixth grade, will have witnessed 8,000 murders. That's an amazing thing. Now, you're right, we gloss over, well, that's just television. That's just play. That's just pretend. But why do we play and pretend those things? Again, why is that entertaining to us? And also, consider, you've got this sweet little innocent child in your household, perhaps, that has witnessed 8,000 murders mm-hmm. and 100,000 acts of violence by the time they're in the sixth grade. That is incredible, and to just gloss over that is not something that we really should accept.
I suppose they don't think of it in the reverse. What if they were looking at good things? What if they were looking at healthy things? What if they were looking at hopeful things instead of looking at the violence and the difficulty? How would that affect? Would they say there would be an effect on that?
That's true. And you know, by the way, those children who see all those acts of violence and murders, it doesn't mean they're all going to run out and be axe murderers or serial killers. Mm-hmm. But it does affect the way we think, the way we view life, the way we value life. It has a deep impact on us to witness that much violence. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. What if every time you turned on the television, you saw some kind of a reinforcement of values that were positive, things that built families, that made people wholesome, and examples of the right kinds of actions and the right kind of life? How might that affect our society?
What a different world we would live in if the world was like that. Can you imagine? People choose their own ways, and yet there's good and bad in those things. What if we began to live by the right standard? Stay with us, and we're going to talk about that in our next segment.
In our fast-paced world, how do you hold on to life's most important things? Your relationships, your finances, even a positive state of mind. For step-by-step principles that always work, get a hold of your free copy of Making Life Work. It's full of timeless advice you need to succeed. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See the spiritual truths that work to always create lasting job and career success, that build healthy marriages and families, financial security, and a life full of friendships. Timeless principles for everybody. They always work. Get your free copy of Making Life Work now by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv. Nothing should stop you from making life work.
We've been discussing the present crisis in character that we face. Now, you may not think it's a problem. You may think your world's okay. Yet there still are areas in your life that can and may need to be changed to a higher standard. Many of us want to do well, but we're often perplexed as to why is it that when we want to do well, we still end up doing bad things. Why is that the case? Now, as we think about that, Don, how will that affect us? What effect will that have on the future? And really, is the character the only issue that we're talking about here? Is there something more?
Well, we're talking about character in terms of behavior, the way people outwardly treat and act toward one another, and the way they go about their lives. But true character goes deeper than that. It's not just a matter of outward activity and the things that we do. It's actually a matter of our heart, and it's a matter of spirit.
That's on the inside.
It's on the inside, and that's where the problem really lies.
So really, it'd be better to say not only a character crisis, but deeper, a spiritual crisis.
Our behavior is based on that spiritual content of our lives and orientation. I mentioned already, we talked about Jeremiah 17, verse 9, where it talks about how that the heart is desperately wicked and is deceitful above all things. That tells us that we just don't think right. We just don't have, by ourselves, that right and proper point of view. Paul mentions something similar in Romans chapter 8, where he says that the carnal mind, the natural human condition and character, is hostile against God. It's enmity against God. It's hostile toward Him. And it says that we cannot obey God because of that basic fundamental nature that we have. Now, we can take that a step further. And we see in Ephesians, the second chapter, and we're talking about a spiritual quality of life here, that Satan himself is so powerful that he affects the mind and the heart of people and their actions. And so this evil has at its source the one that Christ mentioned or described as being a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And Revelation 12 tells us that he has the power and the ability to deceive all of mankind. He's so effective and powerful in his deceptive thoughts and reasonings that he is the one who's ultimately responsible for this heart that we have that is so hostile against God.
That's kind of interesting as you talk about those two things. You talk about people don't know God, or they don't want to know God, and they don't want to do right, and they can't do right without God's help. And then you also mentioned this idea of Satan the devil. Now, you talk about those two things, and so much of our society is so far removed from that. We're so far away from that. And I suppose educated people would say, oh, come on, this, you're overplaying it. That's not reality. Satan the devil, what a terrible thing that would be. And they would poo-poo that whole idea and say, that is just silliness. Mm-hmm. And yet, reality tells us just the opposite, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? People can ridicule the thought of Satan having some influence over our lives. But if we choose to do that, we're just continuing the very same thing that Adam and Eve did. We're continuing to reject knowledge that God has revealed and to go off on our own reasoning and to choose our own path. And we can look at the condition that mankind is in now and see where that leads.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the Bible talk about that? It's not within man to direct his own steps.
Yes.
And of course, we want that power, we want that authority, but to learn right and live right and to do right, it has to come through God. It has to.
It's contrary to our desire, our nature.
Now, if there is a crisis, which I think we've pointed out pretty clearly here, is there a turning point? Is there a way to turn it around? And what would that turning point be?
Well, if Satan is the one that Christ identifies and God's Word identifies as being at the very source of the problem, the character problem and crisis that mankind has, then the ultimate solution is going to be to replace Satan with someone else who will teach mankind the right values and the right way to live. And that will be Jesus Christ. And upon his return, those changes universally, far globally, will be made. For example, Isaiah chapter 11 speaks of a time to come when the world is filled with the knowledge of God like the waters cover the seas. In other words, we would simply be immersed in that truth in that proper way. The right values and standards will finally become clear when Jesus Christ intervenes to replace the false values and the false systems that have plagued mankind from the beginning.
Now, that's kind of interesting. The knowledge of God, the right way of life, covering the earth. In fact, you think of that in terms of Adam and Eve that we talked about earlier. Here they had an opportunity to choose right, to do right, to live God's way, and they never did it. And really, that has never been restored to the earth. And yet, on the horizon at the return of Christ, that's going to happen.
It's the opportunity for that clean start.
And so mankind can choose to be right. Will people be willing to do that?
Probably not initially. I mean, no more than you than people are now. Not you, but you and I, people in general, no more than we are as a human race. Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ will by taking the influence of Satan away from mankind, make it more possible for us to understand, or people to understand and to begin to respond to.
Can you imagine the change in society that there would be with that influence, with that direction, with that encouragement to do what's right? Everyone living that way, they'll have that opportunity.
That will be a time that's entirely different from this age, no question.
So would it be fair to say we could win the crisis in character? We can win that race?
Well, I think the fair thing to say, Steve, is that there will be a victory over this crisis in character. Not to say that we will win it, because that would imply that it comes something that we figure out and as individuals, as people, that we overcome the crisis. The character crisis will be overcome at the time, as we've mentioned, of the return of Christ and directing humankind down the right path.
So as we look at what Christ will do, the ultimate solution has to lie outside of mankind. Now, most people don't think that way. Look to yourself, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Mm-hmm. That seems to be our perspective overall. It's okay for me. You know, I'm not hurting you. My life is fine. And yet, that continues to lead us down the wrong path.
We go right back to the very same point we've been making. When people are free to make his own choice about what's good, what's right, what's evil, what's righteous, then we have this confused scene of people that no one really knows what those right standards are.
And no wonder life begins to get so complicated. It gets confusing when there are so many different standards out there, and life just doesn't seem to work then. In fact, you may need our booklet. We hope you'll get online and order it at beyondtoday.tv. Making Life Work. There can be a good outcome to your life. Are there difficulties? Do you have a crisis of character in your life? There's a way to learn how to build character that brings happiness and security. It's a battle, but it's the only solution that will counter the difficulties that we face today. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
We all need powerful tools to build habits of success and make life work. Get your tools to overcome obstacles and even overcome your own bad behaviors. Life's most powerful tools for personal success are in your free copy of Making Life Work. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv. Get your free copy of Making Life Work.
Character does matter. Morality matters. It's a key to becoming happy, peaceful, and secure in our lives. It's easy to go along with the crowd, to follow the secularism of society, but that's going to bring more pain and suffering along the way. You can change your life and build godly character. You can teach your children the best character traits by turning to the truth of God. Look into the Word of God for the answers of how to live a happy and successful life, and you can avert the crisis of character. Thank you, Don, for appearing on Beyond Today.
Thank you.
When you want to understand your future, please remember this program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.